Tally ho, skewers, how you doing? Welcome back. Happy Halloween. It is time once again for Weekly Skews. It's October 31st, naturally, 2023. I'm Trey. That's Mark. I don't know. You look more like a Randy tonight.
But, yeah.
How's it going?
So we hopped on the feed and Trey was wearing a costume because he's going trick-or-treating after this with his kids. And I was like, okay, what do I have? And I got this mullet wig because last year my wife wanted to be Jesse Spano, so I had to be AC Slater. So we got some Bayside Tigers t-shirts and some wrestling pants and just went to a bar. But I put it on. I realized I look exactly like pictures of my dad when him and my mom first got married in the 70s.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'm being my dad for Halloween.
You know, he was slaying back then. Look at it. Damn sexual tyrannosaur. I told you before we started, my dad had a very similar look. Not hair wasn't quite that long, but pretty close. Otherwise, you're pretty close.
Just need an old Milwaukee with some Clamato juice in it, and I can complete the outfit.
My dad wasn't Clamato. I don't know if we could get Clamato in Clay County, but he was a big beer and mater juice guy, hugely into that always.
Yeah,
not a fan. Saturday. You try that? You drink that?
Yeah, I mean, that's my dad called it. That was a Saturday morning cocktail after to get rid of that, you know, the hair of the dog, I guess. Drinking a beer and tomato juice while I mowed the grass. We got to go back, Classic Trey. We used to be a proper country. Halloween, everybody. I read this piece earlier. I'm not going to be able to wear this wig for long, especially because, you know, we're talking about some, a little bit of serious stuff later. But also, yeah, it's just sketchy as shit. you at least look like a serious, your costume's at least a serious man from another generation. But I read this piece earlier from a guy who's been trying to debunk the poison / drugs and Halloween candy story for 40 years. 40 years. This guy's been trying to find a single case where someone put drugs in Halloween candy, and he has not found any except for one, where one guy believed in this panic and wanted to murder his own child, so he poisoned his own kid and tried to pass it off as this thing he thought was happening, which wasn't. But it doesn't matter. I saw people posting the most unhinged screeds today about how nobody should go trick-or-treating because there's poison in all the candy and costumes make kidnapping children easier. And just like, can you fucking idiots please let everyone stop being scared and have fun for one night?
I remember, you know, it became a thing, and I guess it's still a thing, like, you know, to only take like wrapped candies and that type of thing. Cause you know, used to people like would make whatever little like popcorn balls or like homemade treats and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember like when I was a kid, at some point there was like a shift where it was like, yeah, don't accept anything like that. Can't have that. It might have, you know, drugs in it or razor blades in the caramel apples. Remember that was a specific boogeyman that they put forth. I mean, is there any kind of tracing the origin of this? Because everybody's heard it at this point and has been around forever. But like, does anybody know like when that happened or where it came from? It's just one of those things that just popped up.
Yeah, I tried to find, because I remember last year Fox News went all in on the rainbow fund on the candy. And it doesn't appear to be any sort of organized panic like that this year. But I did find where Border Patrol found a bunch of like they packaged up heroin inside like ornate candy wrappers and a couple different seals try to smuggle it across the border. And I was thinking about how like drugs are expensive. That's why one reason drug dealer wouldn't give them away for free to kids who wouldn't know where they got it, wouldn't know where to come back to buy more. But like, how can it be so valuable that the cartels will invest in intricate packaging to get it across the border, but so worthless that people will give it away for free just to get kids high or something? It doesn't make none of it makes any sort of sense. But I'm glad there wasn't, outside of a few people on social media, there wasn't any sort of organized news sort of like pushing of this panic. So at least we moved on from that for a little bit at least. So that's good. I can't do that. This is too itchy. Hair. Did I ever tell you I have nightmares about having hair?
Maybe you had mentioned that. That's so funny to me. Like, what's the context of the nightmare? Like, what happens in a nightmare where you have hair? You just see a mirror and scream because you've got hair, or what?
It's a growing at like bamboo like rates, and no matter how often I shave it, it will not stop immediately growing back, and it's just itchy as shit, and it won't stop being itchy.
It's so funny.
I don't know how you people do it.
Yeah. How completely different you are from Corey Ryan Forrester in that regard, like. he might have recurring dreams about having hair, but certainly not nightmare. Like, he's, you know, he desperately wants to have hair. And you're just like, no, fuck, hair don't hit. Hair's just annoying. No one needs hair.
I hope he's watching, because I want to say it's because he's a mentally weak man with low self-esteem.
True.
Yeah. It's a one bit of business before we get an update, before we get to the show. We're talking about the 2024 campaign, how fucking stupid and off the rails it already is from pretty much every aspect of it. But the United Auto Workers strike is over. They got the last deal with GM following Ford and Stellantis. They won a six-week strike, and they got pretty much everything they were asking for. They got record pay increases for most workers. It also brings ends tiered pay, which has the effect of some employees are going to get pay raises of as much as 89%. Those are people that were put on like minimum wage jobs, and they should have been union jobs, and now they're full fledged union jobs. And it also puts workers at GM's battery. The deal with GM puts their workers at their battery joint venture with South Korea's their battery company under a national agreement. So those are unionized jobs. So a big fuck you to all the people, including Republicans, who were saying they had to choose between electric vehicles and union jobs. Not true. So that's a win for Joe Biden's approach towards this. And I want to show this video of Sean Fain, stunting. This is the president of United Auto Workers.
This contract is about more than just economic gains for auto workers. It's a turning point in the class war that's been raging in this country for the past 40 years. For too long, it's been one-sided, and working class people have been left behind. That's why this contract is more than just a contract. It's a call to action to workers everywhere to organize and fight for a better life.
So, hell yeah. Nice. The cool thing about this, and Fain is saying the next time they're up for a contract, I won't be negotiating with the big three, they're negotiating with the big six, because they're fired up to organize all United, all the auto workers in America, specifically Tesla, which is a cool thing about that, how they were able to unionize the battery plants and the electric vehicle plants, because Tesla, if you're Ford, GM, and Stellantis, you got to think it's bullshit that you have to pay union wages where your competitors don't.
Right.
And here you have them working with their unions, basically being like, okay, we'll give you this deal, but you got to go fuck with Tesla too. And they're like, okay, hell yeah.
So right. That part, what's the actual, how does a union get established at a company like Tesla? You know, because obviously Elon has blustered about it a lot over the years. Like, unions definitely do not hit for him. And so, I mean, what they got to, do you have to do it in secret? Like, do they have to, you know what I mean? Do they gotta like lobby the employees there secretly until they got enough of them to make a move, and then they all just do one day? They just say, hey, we're unionizing. We all are. Yeah.
I mean, the rules, I don't have the information in front of me, but the National Labor Review Board, has changed the rules as far as what the requirements are to organize a union. But yeah, the Tesla's factory in Fremont, California, which has 20,000 workers, already has a UAW organizing committee. And they're basically going around talking to their coworkers about the advantages of collective bargaining, which showing them how big the pay raises that all the other auto workers, the big three, just got is a pretty easy case to make. And then you get together and hold a big vote. And if you get, you know, overall majority, then you go, hey, you got to deal with us as a group. And then the employer will say no. And then you go, okay, we're on strike.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. So anyway, stock up on your Tesla parts if you got a Tesla. Also, don't get a Tesla. There's better electric vehicles for cheaper. And their owners aren't fucking psychopaths. Do you see that, like, so in Charlottesville, the Robert E. Lee statue, they finally took it down and melted it down to turn into a public artwork.
Yes.
Some guy who claims to be a descendant of Robert E. Lee was talking about how hurtful it is to his heritage and how they want me and all my descendants and ancestors dead. And Musk was like, they absolutely want you dead. Yeah. I don't know who the they is.
that was pretty crazy. Yeah, it's a dude who said, he's like, you know, my middle name is Lee because my family's directly descended from Robert E. Lee, and no one cares how insulting this is to us and our whatever the fuck. And then, yeah, he ends it with saying, these people want my kind to be extinct or something like that. And Musk replied to him. He said, they absolutely want you to be extinct. And it's like, that's a wild ass thing to say, dude. It's like,
how does Musk even come across this shit? Why is he fucking?
I know. I wonder that all the time. I wonder that all the time, dude, with him on Twitter. I'll see some of the random things that he replies to or whatever. And I'm like, how did you even see that? You know, cause I mean, to hear him tell it, he works 17-hour days or whatever. And yet he's on Twitter more than Trump used to be. And he's finally, he's like finding random subtweets and stuff. It's like, he's a chode, man.
If I was a descendant of Robert E. Lee, you couldn't waterboard that shit out of me, much less going on Twitter to defend his fucking legacy. And also fuck that statue. And I think it's cool. I'm going to turn it into a public artwork. And I hope it's a piece of artwork that's, you know, inclusive and all about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this guy can be driven even more fucking insane.
Yeah, I've also wondered about, you mentioned earlier, hey, don't get a Tesla or whatever. I've wondered about, like, because, you know, living in Southern California, dude, you see them all over the place. And I'm sure a lot of the people that own those are, like, still all gung-ho and for it. But I bet there's been some buyer's remorse from some contingent of Tesla owners in the past, you know, few years, ever since Musk went, like, full mask off the way that he has and everything.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I mean, I wear a lot of Adidas stuff, and like Adidas, you know, pivoted
founded by the Nazis, right, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
They were Adolf Dassler and his brother found the company were like members of the Nazi Party and used their factories to make like weapons during World War II. They stopped making shoes, so it's like, I don't think that like you know, consumption is like an endorsement of the company's politics or whatever.
Right.
But I did. We went out to dinner with some friends on Saturday night, and they have a couple Teslas. And my buddy just volunteered. I didn't say anything about it. He was like, "Yeah, I don't think my next car is going to be a Tesla because Elon's gotten fucking crazy." And it was like, he doesn't want to like support it. I get that. But also, if you wanted, but like they're obviously poorly built cars. That's outside of like the politics of the owner or whatever. Like they roll out. There's some of the most recalled and returned vehicles. Some of them was complained about. They're hand built, and there's like giant gaps in the body, and things don't line up. It's just like they're not fucking.
If you were gonna get an electric vehicle, what would you go with? You said there's all these better options. I know they exist, but like, what are we talking about here?
I mean, like
something like that. I mean,
Ford supposedly has great electric vehicles. You know, yeah. Man, but they're so prevalent now. You can get one in pretty much every model. I was looking at like. I've always wanted a Jeep, and I was looking at like electric Jeeps, and I was like, oh, or a hybrid Jeeps or whatever. Like, oh, these look fucking cool, man. It looks like you can get pretty much electric version of or a hybrid version of most vehicles now. So, yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get into it. Producer Matt is with us. He's not in costume, just in case you were wondering. But he's back there doing his thing. And
I do want to say he did send us a picture of he was going to dress up as John Fetterman. I told him that was too fucking nerdy. He shouldn't leave the house.
Yeah, he's back there pulling the strings, doing the things. This is Weekly Skews. Before we continue, I want to remind you of a few things. Of course, number one, if you'd like to see me perform live stand-up comedy, go to treycrowder.com. Come and see me on the road. I'll be in Phoenix this weekend, then Chicago, San Francisco, Northwest Arkansas, and Nashville at the end of the year. And then we got some 2024 dates coming soon. So check it out, treycrowder.com. Also at treycrowder.com, you can see a link to our me and Corey's new book, Around Here and Over Yonder. It's a comedic travel guide. It's very funny. People like it. I think you'll like it too. Check it out. Or you can opt for the audiobook version, which we do read, and it's a lot of fun. And then lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go on Patreon and search for my name. You can find it either way. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We cover things that, you know, come up in between the shows or that we don't have time for, or just other stuff we want to talk about. It's a lot of fun. You can sign up on there, get some more skews in your life, and support the show in the process. As for tonight, like Mark said earlier, we're going to be getting into the already ridiculous 2024 elections. Not even 2024 yet, and things are already heating up in terms of absurdity. We'll get into it a little later. But first, we begin, of course, with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, anyone who actually knows what the hell Andy Ogles is talking about here from my home state of Tennessee, of course.
Here we go again. The administration's war on appliances continues. First, it was gas stoves, then it was water heaters, and now it's ice makers. I live in the country. I like a glass of iced tea. Operative word there is ice.
All right, okay. So
Last Biden about coming for our ice makers now. I'm just saying, Mark, this would be a bit of a line in the sand for me. Joe Biden tries to take my ice maker. I am an ice loving son of a bitch. I have to admit. So I want to keep the government out of my freezer. God damn it.
Got a glass of ice water right here. We have, like, my wife is very particular about her ice. So we have a standalone ice maker that makes nuggets or something. I don't know. It's a waste of money. But so I have good news for you, though. Is the last time, I don't think this is real, surprise, right. But I the last time we talked about Ogles, he had fabricated his entire resume, and it turns out he had, I guess he fabricated a moral panic, a consumer product moral panic over nothing, because I looked through the news. I couldn't even find a press release from him trying to tell me what this was about. The closest thing I could find is a statement from the Consumer Product Safety Commission where they recalled 8,800 ice makers because the blades of the auger in the ice maker can break, resulting in small pieces of metal going into the ice basket, posing a laceration hazard. I don't want metal in my ice.
Hell no.
But there's less than 9,000 people in America are going to have to go through the hassle of mailing their ice maker in for a new ice maker, and this is communism, Trey.
Yeah, moral panic, right. Is this a... This ain't the one you got. Did you check that? You said you got a standalone ice maker. It makes like nuggets or whatever, right? Well, that's what this is. It'd be wild. How wild would it be if Andy Ogles ended up like saving you from ice laceration with his insanity? Man,
I didn't even connect to my own life. I got to check, make sure I'm not going to die from my ice maker. This is good, but like the house is gone insane even more than you. Like we had the whole speaker fight. We had the whole Patreon episode on Friday. Walking through my new speaker, Mega Mike Johnson's biography. And so his wife apparently runs, I won't walk through everything, but he's like a crazy creationist, right-wing, election-denying psycho who all thinks, gay sex should be criminalized, not just gay marriage shouldn't be legal. But so his wife apparently runs some sort of pastoral consulting service company that, tells preachers how to, helps churches with their workplace standards or something. And she had to take down her website because she had language on there. Let me read it from the Huffington Post. Her company's called Onward Christian Counseling Services, and she took down her website a day after the HuffPo pointed to documents on the site that compared homosexuality to bestiality and incest. Her name's Kelly Johnson. The website stated that the business is grounded in the belief that sex is offensive to God if it is not between a man and a woman married to each other. And I just have to say, sex being offensive to God is kind of what makes it hot.
Of course. Yeah. Same reason the devil hits, because he likes butt fucking and whatnot. Yeah, that's the whole thing. You got to, hiding your shame from God and whatnot. That's a big part of many of life's greatest pleasures. But I'm surprised that she felt the need to take it down, frankly. I mean, I felt like in that demo, Like having that stance on homosexuality, I didn't think would be any kind of problem in the world of Jesus consulting or whatever the hell it is she's doing. It is weird to say that her business is founded or grounded in the belief that sex is offensive to God. If not, so does she deal specifically in just the homophobia and sex panic part of God consulting? It's a weird thing.
I'm not quite sure why a church would have to pay for a consultant to tell them how to structure their HR policies for who to hire at the church or whatever. This whole world seems very weird to me. But they all continue to play each other alive, and even after electing unanimously a new speaker. It's like Matt Gaetz on his podcast, and I guess Representative Jason Smith had called him a liar, and he said, Jason Smith called me a liar. It's somewhat predictable projection because he lives a lie every day. Now, Smith is 42 and unmarried, and I guess is openly gay, but also anti-gay as a politician, or maybe not. But anyway, Gaetz outed him basically as being gay, whether or not he is. And so they got a good solid 24 hours of unity for the House GOP before they started, doing McCarthyism to each other. I don't know what these fucking psychos are up to.
I don't hate it. I mean, I do kind of hate it because of just the fact that, they're in the U.S. Congress and it causes problems for all of us in the long run with their, lunacy gumming up the works so often. But just in a purely from a personal perspective or whatever, it don't bother me at all to see them tearing each other apart. I just, get my popcorn and sit back, you know.
Comparing gay people to people who do bestiality is just such a 2009 ass hateful opinion. It feels like it's been 14 years, but it feels like we've come a long way in 14 years on that stuff, or we have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's weird. I saw some public polling about this the other day that, like, approval for, you know, just gayness in general is still overwhelming in America at 64%, but it's down 71% a couple of years ago. I'm guessing just part of the Trump effect is people being feeling less social pressure to say the right thing.
Right. Sure. Oh, but yeah.
Still fucking not great, but it's crazy ass country.
Yep. And our honorable mention. Speaking of which, our honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, anyone who doesn't think that whoever the next Republican president is wouldn't go full Vlad the Impaler on some asses. Let's see what Vivek has to say about Israel's situation.
I would love nothing more than for the IDF to put the heads of the top 100 Hamas leaders on stakes and line them up on the Israel-Gaza border as a sign that October 7, 2023 will never happen again, and then to use all of those saved resources to build the border defenses of the future. But that all is right. Israel's
you know,
decision to make.
The heads on spikes move is not the same. It's not exactly the same kind of PR swing that it was in the dark ages. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it doesn't, I don't think it has exactly the same effect that it used to. But it used to be very effective, as I understand it, back when, you know, we still didn't believe in math and all that type of shit. So, it's a wild thing to say out loud. It's like, obviously, Hamas sucks, but 100 heads on stakes outside the city walls or whatever, like, good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a pacifist. I don't have any problem with, like, killing members of Hamas who've enlisted voluntarily, right, as soldiers in a gross war. But I just wanted to say that people are feeling empowered. Going back to, like, openly saying awful shit in that poll about gay people, like, the people, like, are just feel this conflict has enabled people to say some of the most awful shit.
Yeah.
Some of it's just historically tone deaf. Some of it's just idiotic. Like, a spokesman for Israel was talking about he compared their strategy against Hamas to like America after Pearl Harbor doing like the Jimmy Doolittle raid on Tokyo and the Dresden firebombings. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, like, everyone all over the world was so grossed out by how World War II was fought. Everybody came together after World War II and invented a concept known as war crimes, so people wouldn't do that anymore. Right. And, like, nobody was like, man, I'm glad we did the Dresden fire. I mean, we won the war, but you know what I'm saying? Nobody thought there's like, wait, maybe we should not have targeted civilians on purpose as a part of destroying the Nazi war machine. But
yeah, I mean, you know, Kurt Vonnegut wrote about the horrors of the Dresden firebombing, like, you know, decades ago or whatever. Like, I feel like it's not, I've never gotten the impression that it was like a celebrated thing that happened in spite of the fact that, like, we were the good guys and we won the war or whatever.
When you're comparing your strategy to U.S. dropping the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it's like, okay, I mean, like, historians can debate whether or not that was useful all day, but no one thinks it was good that it came to that. I don't think so. Anyway, the hate crime, like, one of the reasons, like, so Secretary of State Blinken testified for the Congress today, and he was interrupted by a protest calling for a ceasefire. And it's the position of most countries and governments and organizations around the world that to call for a ceasefire. Doctors Without Borders, a lot of members of the United Nations, a lot of countries in Europe, yada, yada, yada. Two big standouts not doing so are the United States and, of course, Israel. Blinken and Kirby from the National Security Council said it'll give Hamas time to regroup, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Hillary said the same thing. I saw there was a clip of her that went viral, you know, asking, like, if you were Secretary of State, what would you, you know, and she said the same thing. She's like, that's just not how it works. She's like, if you have a ceasefire, all that's going to do is give Hamas time to beef up and do more Hamas shit, or, you know, whatever. It was a little more eloquent than that, the way she put it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I just like this thing where we pretend they're on equal, like it's an equal fight or something, where like Hamas has any regrouping to do is weird to me, although I'm not an expert on it, so maybe I'll punt on that. But I think it'd be useful for the rest of us to have a ceasefire, because the world is fucking tearing itself apart. The hate crimes worldwide.
Yeah, dude, some of them are crazy. Like, there's some crazy shit going on around the world as a result of this whole thing.
So, just a short list. Here in L.A., police opened a hate crime investigation after a guy yelling Free Palestine, which is probably fine. Then kill Jews, not fine. He'd be kicked in the back door of a Jewish family's house and entered. That's not fine. The Pennsylvania State Capitol man pulled up to a pro-Palestine protest, yelled anti-Muslim racist slurs, and pointed a gun at people from his car. Synagogues and Jewish-owned businesses have been vandalized all over the country. Flyers saying Jews wage war on American freedoms were put on vehicles all over Orange County here in California. And that's just the anti-Semitism. It doesn't have anything to do with the conflict, really. But, like, Palestinian restaurants are getting downvoted on Yelp, which I don't know what the connection is there. But, like, also, like, a Jewish-owned ice cream shop in San Francisco shut down after being graffitied. None of this has anything to do with anything. And, like, everyone's just sort of talked about it on Friday a little bit. Everyone's just enlisting in this war. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like a weird main character syndrome thing happening. But also, like, Fox News is telling people that 10,000 Hamas fighters are streaming across the southern border, which is not mathematically possible. And a woman in Dorchester, England. Did we talk about this? I can't remember. I don't think I mentioned it on the show. I think I might have texted you guys about it. But, so Hamas on the October 7th attack, one of the ways they attacked was using paragliders, parachute planes with a fan on the back. I mentioned those before.
Yeah.
So this woman in Dorchester, England, saw some people recreationally flying paragliders and called police saying that Hamas was attacking Dorchester, England.
Right.
They're like, no, they're not, lady. It's just people flying around a paraglider. And she went to the newspaper and complained about how insensitive it was for these paragliders to spend their Saturday afternoon flying around recreationally, when obviously anyone would think that Hamas was invading England.
Yeah, Dorchester, England, especially, you know what I mean? Like, I doubt that's high on their priority list, let alone the fact that they obviously, you know, don't have the capacity to launch that kind of operation, I don't think.
And the FBI, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, testified in front of Congress today that Hamas could inspire, like, you know, a bunch of, like, stochastic, like copycat attacks around the United States and the world, which is theoretically possible. ISIS successfully did it to the extent they even tried to do it. Sometimes people just do shit. But I don't know what the FBI is going to be able to do about it other than go back to doing war on terror stuff, like trying to entrap the dumbest member of every mosque in some sort of stupid fucking caper. But, like, you don't have to, like, everyone just calm down. like it's absolutely fucking insane. And the craziest one, this happened over the weekend in Russia. A mob of people in Dagestan, which is like a Russian territory with a Muslim majority, took over an airport in a city called Makhachkala. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. A flight landed from Tel Aviv and they just took over the airport looking for Jews to kill.
I read that a lot of the people who were on that flight were people like from there, like from Dagestan, or like people from there who had been like seeking medical treatment or shit like that in Tel Aviv and were flying home. And then the plane gets overrun by all these people looking to kill Jews. I'm sure there were some Jews on that plane, but I'm just saying it was a bit of a shit show. It's wild that an angry mob of people could just storm a runway at an airport anyway, but
especially in Russia, where like they've literally firebombed their own people to get out of hand, ask any Chechen. But so if you wonder what looking for a Jewish person in an airport looks like, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever fucking seen in my life.
Looking in the engine. Any Jews in there? Where's the Jews at?
What the fuck, man? So about 60 of these dudes got caught and rounded up by Russian police or civil defense forces or whatever that finally got there. And their punishment for embarrassing the state of Russia is having to join the Russian military and go fight Ukraine.
Yeah.
So RIP to those dudes. oh, God. But it's just like, so back here in America, like a Muslim woman was sitting at her apartment complex picnic table was stabbed to death in Texas last week. That was just 2 weeks after a six-year-old in Chicago was stabbed to death by his landlord because his family was Palestinian. And that guy was friends with them. He wasn't just a landlord. He was friends with the family, but watched the news and got so mad at just the general concept of Palestinians. He attacked a woman and a kid and killed the kid. And the woman last I saw was surviving, but like her kid fucking died, dude. And this is like nationalist governments and movements are going to grab a hold of this to tear everybody apart, because that's what they fucking do. And not just here in the United States, but all over the world. It's just like, and this is a fight ostensibly between like Arab Muslims and Jewish Israelis that is somehow going to end up making world Jewish people worldwide and Muslims worldwide less safe. It already has.
For sure. It's definitely like just an excuse for big chunks of the populace on both sides of it to, you know, just openly air their hatred, racism, or xenophobia, or whatever. Because I do a lot of this shit, and again, it is on both sides of it. It's but like, you know, like you said, a lot of these like Free Palestine rallies and stuff that happen in this country or in London or wherever, and it's like a lot of like college kids and that type of shit. But at every one of them, there are also people there, literally chanting to kill the Jews and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like they just openly talk. You know, I mean, they want to eradicate them. And then the same thing is true on the other side. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just really showing a lot of people's true colors in their response to this situation.
I'm seeing articles by out and out white supremacists who are, you know, anti-Semitic, having takes like an articles reposted from theirs by ostensibly left-wing people who agree with the point, but don't know they're siding with literal Nazis.
I know that type of thing is what's been so wild. It's like, just as a lefty or whatever, you gotta be I'd be more careful with this particular subject, or at least that's how I feel about it, you know what I mean? Because there's a lot of whatever you may have the purest of intentions where all this goes or whatnot, but like, you know, getting into bed with some unsavory types when it comes to all that.
And it doesn't mean their point's wrong. Like, Hitler liked dogs. I like dogs. We can agree on one thing, right? Yeah. But, like, it doesn't fucking, it's still not a good look to be like, just don't promote these people. But, like, while there is anti-Semitism, there's anti-Semitism everywhere, right? There's anti-Semitism on the left, but, like, most of it in American politics, the organized part of it, is very right-wing, right? And so this fight is made for such strange fucking bedfellows. Like, Ron DeSantis has gone all in on being pro-Israel while at the same time protecting and coddling a bunch of neo-Nazis in Florida.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the strangest dichotomies in all of American politics, and we've mentioned it multiple times in the past couple of weeks. But how, like, I mean, because you're right. Like, generally, you know, which side hates the Jews or is anti-Semitic? They're right. But they're also fervently pro-Israel, you know, at the same time. And, you know, again, there's a bunch of reasons why. And some of the hardcore Christian ones, it's like biblical in nature and whatnot. But, I mean, either way, it's a wild dynamic.
Right. And if somebody's like, if I was a Jewish person in Israel and an American evangelical was like, we support you. And I'd be like, thank you. But then the second part of that is, I support you because I believe in the book of Revelation is literal. And I think that for Jesus to come back, you have to die in a horrible war and then go to hell.
Right.
And then be like, wait, that's not the kind of support.
Yeah, right. Well, not that part. I don't like that part.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one guy, state rep named, let me find his name here. State representative named Randy Fine, who's one of the, I think the only Jewish member of the Florida legislature. He was a big DeSantis supporter, and because of the, like, we're talking about a bunch of Nazis have been running around Florida hanging up signs and stuff. We talked about it before, but like chanting stuff like Jews get the rope, hanging swastikas over freeway overpasses. DeSantis has made it a point to stay quiet over this. Other Republicans in the state have condemned it. DeSantis, whenever he's asked about it, acts like it's a trap to like make it look like he's siding with the Nazis, which is very easy. All you do is say, I don't support Nazis, but then the Nazis don't like you and you get less votes. So that's the trap he's in, right? So this guy named Fine wrote an opinion column. He said DeSantis's failure to confront anti-Semitism more publicly had, quote, broken his heart. In an interview with the New York Times, he said he'd been dismayed by Mr. DeSantis's lack of leadership after the neo-Nazi marches. So he decided to endorse Donald Trump. Donald Trump, who famously owned one book, and it was a book of Hitler speeches that he kept on his bedside table, and last week said Hezbollah is smart.
Right.
I don't think your calculator is working on this one, Mr. Fine. But I understand, as a Jewish Republican, your options are limited. But maybe you should reconsider the Republican part of your identity. In other political news having to do this, House Republicans after finally having a leadership and getting back to being able to pass bills, are trying to figure out what to do about Israel and Ukraine aid. The Biden administration has asked for $14.3 billion for Israel, and they're trying to counter it by cut. They say, okay, we got to balance it out, so we're going to cut $14.3 billion from the IRS funding in the Inflation Reduction Act. All right.
Right. The IRS,
yeah,
which serves to, you know, collect the money for the
$14.3 billion. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's an incredibly cynical move for a couple of reasons. One, every dollar you cut in IRS funding, you lose about $2 of revenue. So basically, cutting $14 billion from the IRS adds about $30 billion to the deficit. Also, like, the IRS finally got around, I think everyone's been complaining about for years, got around to in this bill, giving money to build a free digital tax filing system, you know, they had never done because it would fuck with, like, you know, H&R Block's money and what's the tax?
TurboTax,
yeah. They were just trying to protect their little, you know, their little hustles. So but they finally got around to passing that. The GOP is trying to do away with it to make you pay to do your taxes again. You got to pay somebody else to give the government their money. There's also a thing where, like, if you actually want to fight terrorism, one of the ways the government does it is the IRS cracks down on the kind of, like, dark money floating around the international finance that funds terrorism. Here's an operation a couple months ago where the IRS criminal investigation special agents from the cybercrime division played a central role in seizing Hamas-linked cryptocurrency accounts, because the pretty much the only use case for cryptocurrency is doing illegal shit or terrorism internationally. And so they're trying to make it easier to fund Hamas in the guise of helping Israel. So fuck these
while
guys.
While also increasing the deficit, people. You know, yes. Like yeah. What, yeah, costing the country more money and fuck it. Yeah. Everything they do is just, you know, completely counterproductive, but you know, gotta make it look like you're doing, you know, everybody hates IRS agents, get rid of them, help Israel out. So it's a win-win, except if you don't think about it.
Yeah. I hate traffic too, but also I am traffic. When you're in traffic, you are the traffic you're complaining about. It's like some things in the world just suck. You got to pay taxes if you want to have roads and schools. End of discussion. All right. Top of the election.
Yep. Yeah. Let's get into it. So first things first, Mike Pence out, right?
Yeah.
Wonder how much that had to do with that picture that everybody saw. We shared the picture, right, on the previous episode of Skews, I think. With him in like some like CVS pharmacy, or it looked like it was him like at an event, and there was like eight old people there who looked like they wanted desperately to die rather than be there. Like they're just like their faces were just like not a single one of them seemed to be enjoying it. It looked like they were forced there against their will or something. And shortly after that, he drops out. I'm sure he had a few of those in a row and was like, okay, maybe this isn't working.
Yeah, that was the peak of Pence mentum, I think. But it might be going even worse for Ron DeSantis, who's now pretty much solidly in third behind Nikki Haley. And he went on a podcast the other day hosted by a Trump supporter. And I cannot imagine this going more humiliatingly. And he just hit play, man.
I'm sure your marketing team points out how they're trying to troll you in the marketplace. Okay, I'm sure they're doing that. Can you bring this one clip? I know you were on, Bill Maher, and Bill Maher talked about the boots. I've seen you walk with these boots. Go ahead and play this clip. This on TikTok went viral. It doesn't have a million views. It doesn't have, you know, 10 million views. This thing's got 1.2 million likes. And some people are wondering.
What are they? I don't even understand. So I haven't seen that.
What they're not showing this to you. Okay, no. What they're trying to say with this is that in your boots, you have heels.
No. That's what they're trying to say. Those are just standard off the rack Lucchese.
How tall are you, Governor?
5'11.
5'11? Okay. Why don't you wear tennis shoes and dress shoes?
I do wear tennis shoes when I work out. Yeah. 100%.
You do? Yep. Okay. I got a gift for you. I'd love for you to wear, okay, I shop at Ferragamo. Okay.
Put on the shoes, Ron.
I don't accept gifts. I can't accept it. I'm sorry.
He chooses to try on the shoes that's got bought, so he can do a height test in a different pair of shoes than the one he's wearing. Wait, by the way, like he said, he's 5'11 there. According to the Yale's baseball roster, when he was on the team, he was listed 5'11 there too. So if he's been lying about his height, he's been doing it for 20 some years.
Yeah, and 5'11 is like, I mean, I know, you know, apparently like on Tinder, 6 foot's the absolute minimum, I've always heard, you know, but like, you know, that's like the acceptable standard, which is ridiculous, by the way. But I'm saying 5'11", it's not like, it's not absurd. Like, that's a perfectly respectable height to be 5'11".
It's above average.
So if he actually, yeah, right. So like, because we're going to see another video here in a minute, you know, I mean, I feel like the evidence is pretty compelling, personally, that something is up with his footwear.
Yeah.
But if he is legitimately 5'11", I don't understand why he's fooling with it. If he's like, he just got to be as tall as Trump in his mind or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the taller guy usually wins an election. So he's got a real dilemma there. But also, like, Joe Biden beat Trump and he's shorter than Trump. So I don't know. But so I was thinking about this and him wearing lifts and Donald Trump wearing makeup, and Trump also might be wearing lifts. And I wonder if Ron DeSantis wears Spanx. So I Googled it and there was a hit on it about somebody theorizing that's where he's standing. So weird, it's where he wears Spanx. But also there's a huge trending hashtag on TikTok called Ron DeSantis shapewear. So apparently people are already on this beat, but after this horrific encounter on this podcast, Politico interviewed three expert shoemakers who make shoes with lifts in them for short people about whether or not DeSantis is wearing height boosters. And they were like, oh, yeah, definitely. They can tell by looking at the shoes that he's definitely wearing lifts in his shoes or extra high heels or whatever inside his shoes. Because there's something about the way the boots are built, like the top's too wide, which is what happens. That's why you watch, like, you can see the outline of the top of his boots and his pant leg because the lift's pushing it. I don't know. These guys are experts. You can go read the article.
I mean, they do look weird. I'm not a boot expert, but I feel like anybody can just look at the boots he wears and something does look off about them for sure. Uh-huh. So if he's like expert bootmakers, like, yeah, what's off about him is there's fucking high heels in there or whatever. Dude. Then, like, I'm inclined to believe it.
I'm no bootmaking expert either, but the funny part was these bootmakers, one of them is in Houston. Apparently he makes custom boots with lifts in them for politicians all the time, all over Texas. Yeah. It's apparently a really common thing, but you don't have to be a boot expert because I just watched this viral video. And Matt, remember not to play the sound of this one because it's set to Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Yeah. But, you guys just imagine Staying Alive playing in your head as you watch this. Cause it does watch him walk pretty well, but
yeah.
This was to me, this was like when I saw this and I slowed it down and I saw what they're actually talking about here. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Like, I feel like this is just keep, let it go. It's, they slow it down. Watch his, the front end of his foot when it comes up. Look, that right there. Yeah. You see that?
Very weird.
And they pause it, don't they? Or something. There you go, Matt. There you go. Yeah. Look at that right there.
Yeah, it reminds me of how I used to walk when I was a little kid wearing my dad's work boots.
Right.
You know.
So if you're only just listening, like basically the boot creases incredibly when he takes the step, like it bends at like almost a 90-degree angle halfway down the middle of his boot, which I don't think would be possible if there's an actual foot up in the front part of the boot, because foots don't bend that way, which means the foot is further back in the boot, which would mean it's, you know, lifted up and at an angle, presumably.
Yeah. Maybe he's missing the front halves of his feet. That's the real thing that's wrong with him. So this is an incredibly dumb thing to be the final nail in your campaign coffin, but like, he's kind of lucky this is what people are talking about, because in substance, he's even worse. Okay. So he went on Meet the Press this weekend. This is in the wake of a mass shooting last week in Lewiston, Maine, where 18 people were killed, another 13 were injured. Is awful. 18, by the way, is the total number of homicides in Maine all of last year, I think. So they basically equaled all of last year in one fucking mass shooting, because one psycho can get a machine gun and walk around with it.
And then he got away for a little while too. I mean, they finally found him dead, but he went to like multiple places and shit, didn't he? And like eluded them and all that stuff for a little bit. It was pretty freaky.
Yeah. Not only did cops failed to stop this at any point, because he had been reported for being a psycho by his comrades in the military. He was an Army reservist, and they tried to turn him in saying he's dangerous. I think he's going to do a school shooting. Cops went to his house once, trying to interview him, couldn't find him, and then gave up. This guy went to buy a silencer the week before, and suppressor silencers, we were going to call them, are harder to get than guns. And so we had to fill out a form. And with the form had a box to check about whether or not he'd been adjudicated mentally unstable or insane. And he checked yes in the box. They didn't sell him the silencer, but he still was able to get guns. All right. So DeSantis was asked about this, about whether or not like the government should take away this guy's guns when he like his coworkers were saying they heard voices and he was dangerous and shit. And he was basically said, no, because gun owners shouldn't have their due process, should have due process rights. But then he proposed involuntary commitments for people that are like that. So you won't take away their guns, but you will take away their freedom without due process. There's been a Trump's always talked about bringing back insane asylums. These people are fucking idiots. But so the conversation reached this point where he just looked like an utter buffoon. I'm not quite sure what he was even trying to talk
about. Look, you know, in Florida, our crime rate's at a 50-year low and our violent crime rate's down 30% since I've been governor. So we're handling it strong.
Governor, actually, statistically speaking, the CDC says that the firearm mortality rate is actually higher under your administration than it was under your predecessor's administration. But I do want to move on to the campaign.
The
firearm mortality rate.
Well, I don't know. But
was actually higher under your
short-circuited
than your predecessors. That's according to the CDC. Let me move on to the campaign, Governor.
You can cut it, Matt. So he tries to pretend like he misheard her talking about the COVID excess mortality rate, and she's talking about the firearm mortality rate. But, like, I can see what his brain's doing there, because this is one of those lies, damn lies, and statistics-type situations where if you want to think about why the firearm mortality rate could be up while the overall violent crime rate is down, the answers go something like this. Well, a mass shooting is one crime, even if a bunch of more people died, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he doesn't want to say that. He also doesn't want to say that, like, well, we ruled a lot of those homicides, firearm mortalities, stand your ground cases where the murderer got away with it. Doesn't want to say that.
Right.
And he also doesn't want to say, well, a lot of those are suicides. A lot of my fucking people in my state are so miserable they kill themselves. He doesn't want to say that. So that's the trap he was in there, not be able to answer honestly, even though he did have a cogent defense of that statistic. So other candidates still in this race, Chris Christie, for some reason, who tweeted this, his campaign tweeted out this today, Donald Duck. He's been calling Donald Trump Donald Duck for ducking the debates for like 2 months now. It's not sticking, but he's still doing it.
That's I know, he's so proud of it, dude.
Yeah,
He's so into it. Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's like that line from Mean Girls, or whatever. It's like, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen, right? It's that with him calling Trump Donald Duck. Also, this is like, that's AI generated, right? Clearly,
like that. It looks like it. Yeah,
it looks like it, right? It's funny to imagine that he's like playing around with the prompts, getting the perfect Trump duck picture. Also, the caption, it said only Chris Christie can stop this ducking guy. So, you know, a little autocorrect joke in there. I saw all the top replies to it that I saw before I stopped scrolling were just people saying, you suck.
This stuff only works for Trump because his fans are the dumbest people on the planet. They hoot and holler for it. It's not going to work on any fucking normal person. It's stupid. So let's talk about Joe Biden for a minute, because, like, Republicans, for some reason, cannot figure out a thing to attack him on. I'm like, I know why. It's like, because he's just a normal, affable white guy, so the scaremongering doesn't work. And also, he's just, like, governing like a centrist. They don't have a lot to hit him with.
Right.
But, like, this, the weirdest couple things that they've been trying to latch on to, like, this is from Fox News yesterday. Joe Biden was talking about the Webb Telescope, which is a thing that does exist.
Yes. Dude, it was
host.
I was, like, pumped about the James Webb Telescope for like 15 years or something. People that like keep up the space shit or whatever were waiting on that thing to go up for the longest time. It was like a big, like, in my mind, it was like a prominent thing, I thought, that like a lot of people were pretty aware of, but apparently not everybody got the memo.
Right. They apparently haven't heard of it. And this happened.
This is not going to help us in the long run.
Well, did he call it the Webb Telescope? Isn't it the Hubble?
Yes.
Was he thinking of Webb Hubble? I don't understand.
Who knows? But look, his performance today, Laura, was so...
Okay.
There is almost nothing that I hate more than, like, people, like, being super condescending and, like, laughing condescendingly about a thing that they're wrong about. Like,
right.
I hate that. It's one of my biggest pet peeves in the world. Like, I sent you guys in the group chat that video of that chick talking about how dinosaurs obviously weren't real. And the way she was talking about it, she's like, okay, pretty sure if there were dinosaurs, we'd be finding them all the time. Everyone would. But okay, it's like just talking like talking all smarmy and shit, all Bill Maher like, but about something you're just super wrong about. I hate that, dude. Makes me want to slap the shit out of whoever is doing it. So I just wanted to say that.
And also how diseased the brains are. They haven't read any news in the last couple of years about the James Webb Telescope, but they thought maybe something about Webster Hubble, who I'd forgotten about. He was a guy in the first Clinton administration who resigned from the DOJ because of Whitewater. They remember that, but they haven't heard of the Webb Telescope. Yeah. I don't fucking know. So also this week, Joe Biden had a Halloween event where a kid was holding fake ice cream, and he did a bit where he pretended to eat the fake ice cream, and they played the video. This is apparently a scandal.
This drives me so insane, dude. So yeah, like I said, like I feel like any person who has a kid, you don't even have to have a kid. If you've just ever been around like kids, you know that, you know how much of a nothing thing this is. Yeah.
So he just takes the fake ice cream, licks it, and of course, no sound, please. You got it. It's too loud. So,
a small child has a fake ice cream cone. He takes it. It's like, that's good stuff, which is like small child fucking 101 shit. Like, it's nothing at all remotely weird or dumb or anything about that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to run with this. Like, they're trying to, like, do the people, does their demographic, like, do they genuinely believe, like, oh my God, he doesn't know you can't eat plastic ice cream? He's so old and senile, he thinks you can eat plastic ice cream. And, like, that's what they're presenting, and their people believe. It blows my mind, dude. It's like, that's so clearly not what happened there. Like, it's insanity.
It's from another planet. Like, that's the RNC's Twitter research Twitter account. If you scroll their posts, like, every third one's one about Joe Biden eating ice cream. They really think it's like a huge, like, controversy or like scandal that he eats a lot of ice cream. Remember, like they're this piece has been talking about, like, how they can't really figure out what to make fun of him for. It's like, Joe Biden has lost a step. None of those things are examples of it, right? You can just play clips of him talking in the 90s. He talks a lot slower now than he used to, which is fine. I don't think, like, point it out if you want to. But there's a weird thing going on here where Joe Biden is, like, polling about their age. No, we'll get to the Trump section. Sorry. I know we're running out of time. Remember when they tried to make it a big deal that Joe Biden petted a dog in Hawaii?
Yeah.
It was like a scandal that he petted a dog. Like, this is all part of the same thing. It's like, there's legitimate stuff to debate here, guys. You don't have to fucking find these weird things, try to make, like, controversies out of thin air. But this Joe Biden thing hit for me. When when Joe Biden was talking about the Webb Telescope, he was at a press conference. He was announcing some sort of executive order on trying to establish rules for AI.
Right.
He apparently got all hot and bothered to make stricter regulations on AI after watching Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, which plot involves artificial intelligence destroying the world. And I was like, can we get Joe Biden to watch Oppenheimer? Because there's other more pressing needs in the world right now, although AI does suck and does scare me a little bit. So that's weird. So while we're talking about who is not senile or insane, Trump gave a speech in, I forget what it was. It doesn't matter where it was. I forget where it was because he forgot where he was. If you have this video,
Sioux City, Iowa. He was in Sioux City, Iowa, and he called. Go ahead, Matt.
A very big hello to a place where we've done very well, Sioux Falls. Thank you very much, Sioux Falls. And thank you.
And then some guy comes up and whispers to him, and you can kind of hear him very lowly on the mic. He says, you're actually in Sioux City, Iowa, Mr. President, or whatever he says.
And he goes back to Mike and says, Sioux City. That's like a very This Is Spinal Tap moment. It could happen to anybody, but this stuff is happening so often with him that even the New York Times had noticed. The New York Times, who, like, you know, basically sucks Trump's dick 24/7. This headline here, how Trump's verbal slips could weaken his attacks on Biden's age. And this article points out that the wrong city thing steps on a bit Trump's been doing in his stump speech for months. So he has this fictional scene that he acts out a lot where he pretends to be Joe Biden, mistaking Iowa for Idaho and needing an aide to straighten him out. So literally what he was hypothesizing, what happened to Joe Biden, just happened to him, which hit for me.
They, they just can't help but do that. You know what I mean? Like, they're so, like inherently hypocritical, or whatever you want to put it, at their core, that, like, they just fall bass-ackwards into, like, irony and projection and all that shit all the time.
The funny part of this article is they polled, like, who being old hurts more, Trump or Biden. And basically, like, if you can brand Joe Biden as senile, Trump wins. But if you brand them both as equally senile, Joe Biden overwhelmingly wins those voters. So basically, voters are like, well, if a choice between a senile guy and a psychotic guy, I will take the psychotic guy.
Right.
But a choice between a senile guy and a senile psychotic guy, I will take the first senile guy.
Right. So, Matt, go ahead and final few minutes here, get some questions and comments for us. An enemy anemone says, a longtime viewer says, Sioux City, Sioux Falls, whatever, they're both in North Dakota, right? I flew over it once. It's a beautiful place, really tremendous. They're doing a Trump thing. Yes, I like it. That's funny. We talked about this before, like, that's also always kind of driven me crazy, because it's like, they're both old and have all these gaffes and say all these white, you know what I mean? It's like them talking about Biden being old. See, now when Trump had the whole fucking mental capacity thing when he was still president, mm-hmm. and like, it's like, okay, they're both old and whatever, losing it a step or whatnot. But one of them is also a lunatic dipshit on top of that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't understand, you know, how that's this huge knock against Biden, considering who his opposition is. Debbie Lynn Robinson says, hit that like button, everybody. Thank you, Debbie Lynn. Yes, please do like it. To smash that like button, subscribe to the channel if you're not already, and do all that other internet stuff. On that note, if you are a viewer, but you ever listen to podcasts on your phone, go to your podcast app and subscribe to the SKUs. If you don't mind, it's free. Don't cost you nothing. Makes us look better. We'd appreciate it. Leave a 5-star review. I don't know why I said that way.
Dude, I just checked the score on my phone. The Rangers are up 5-0, dog. Hell yeah.
Nice, yeah.
Dallas sports fan, people, sorry.
Like this question. Series. Kim Cusado, another longtime viewer, says, candy corn, yay or nay? For me, it's a hell nay, personally. Where are you at, Mark?
I like candy corn. I don't seek it out, but I'm fine with it.
I find it to be, and I was a fat kid, too. And, like, even as a fat kid, I was like, I don't fuck with this stuff. It never hit for me at all.
It's not a Halloween candy, but there are very few candies I find objectionable. One of them is Peeps. I just can't stand Peeps in Easter because it's like you're eating
the texture
of like a real baby chick or something. It feels like I'm just eating a real baby. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm not down with Peeps either. People say that the secret to Peeps is you got to like leave them open for a day or so and they get kind of stale and it improves the texture. Still not a huge fan, just saying. Carla Barrick says, an enemy anemone, they're saying there's two an enemy anemone. As someone from South Dakota, I salute you. Hitting for people in here. Where you at on black licorice? I find that to be the most offensive candy in existence. They love them. Some of them Europeans over there, them Scandinavian types and the Viking, Viking people, they love that shit apparently. And I just can't, I don't know how people do it. Jaeger kind of tastes like black licorice, but it gets you hammered, so that's okay.
I was going to say, I never liked licorice candy, but in my 20s, I did enjoy a lot of Jägermeister. So
sure, me too. Like,
yeah.
Deb Marsh says, I feel safer with Joe in charge. I mean, as well you should. Compared to Trump.
He doesn't go on Twitter and threaten to launch nukes. Right. So, yeah.
So there's just that.
Based on the,
right.
Yeah.
I remember it was a huge talking point in the last election, and I still generally feel that way, where it's like, and then after Biden won and everything, it's just like, we still hear about Trump and his insanity all the time, but like when he was president, it was just something new every other day, something new and bad every other day. And it's like, it was like living in existential terror all the time. And it's like, I just like having a president who I mostly don't hear about, unless it's them calling him stupid for playing around with a kid in the ice cream cone. Like, you know.
Remember people in Hawaii got an alert about nukes incoming from North Korea after Trump had been talking shit to them, and they all kissed their families goodbye and huddled in their basement? Yeah. That happened.
It did happen. Red Wave of Ketchup says, Trey, when are y'all coming to Colorado? I was actually just thinking about that earlier today. I'm definitely due to come back to Denver, so I need to tell my agent to make that happen. Hopefully next year, 2024 at some point. one of the best comedy clubs in the country is in Denver, Denver Comedy Works. I mean, actually, a lot of comics think it is the best comedy club in the country, and it's certainly one of my favorites. So love it there. Hope to come back soon. If you are not in Denver, I don't know. I've done Boulder before. Maybe I'll try to hit up Colorado Springs, something like that. But usually if I go to Colorado, it's Denver.
Yeah. My buddy, if you're near Denver, my buddy Al Jackson does comedy around there a lot. He hosts the local morning show there. So go see Al. Tell him I said, hey. He's
also, my boy Sam Talent is a Denver comic who's, I think, one of the best comics in the country. He's fantastic. So you probably catch him around Denver, too. Great guy. Funny guy. All right. Well, that'll do it. Listen, guys, like I said, go to TreyCrowder.com. Check out my dates. Come and see me. Check out the book with me and Corey around here and over yonder, all on TreyCrowder.com. And also support this show on Patreon and get bonus episodes in the process. But the main thing is you keep coming back on Skews D's, and we will too. We'll see you in 7 days. Love you. Bye. Happy Halloween.